financial update with Treasurer Sampson. I'll go ahead and turn that over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you'll turn with me, summary statement form courts January 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2023. County General Fund $1,005,089,209.15. County Road Fund $2,004,706,070.96. County Road Sales Tax Fund $3,355,708.25. Animal Welfare Control Fund $3,404,1,501,050.30. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund $3,407,289,217.29. Coronavirus Relief Fund $1,005,729,160.13. American Rescue Plan Fund $3,046,22,176,510.38. I want you to notice with me on the bottom, just real quick, County General on the 1, 2, 3, 4, about the fifth column over percent used, we're halfway through the year. We've used 48.66%, so we're right in line there on County General used. Flipping to page 2, County General revenue, like we talked about last month, we jumped it up. We're about $500,000 above where we were in 2022 at this point. We're still holding that same pattern. Feel good about the revenues. Page 3. Sales tax revenue for June was $1,169,537.83. That's 12.12% better than it was June 22. And we are currently running 5.77% above 2022 year to date. Moving to page 4, if you look at the bottom there, we're 53% projected, up to $13 million projected in tax revenue. That's 3% over. We ought to be halfway through the year, so we're in good shape there. And on the last page, if you remember me talking about the three-month moving average dropping below the one-year moving average last month, and me saying I anticipate coming back above this time, it did that, and it was a seasonal effect. Real quick, I want to mention one thing, and we talked about it a little bit this year, and not a lot, but we're halfway through the year, and I kind of want to address it before we get to budget time, and that's inflation. You know, last year we were addressing inflation, and we were saying we were estimating October that it was going to be somewhere between 6% and 7%. It ended up 6.45% for 2022. We are currently trending toward a 6% for 2023 as well. We thought the inflation was going to be over in 22 and kind of draw back to nothing. It's not happening. So we're going to keep an eye on it. We only have numbers through May on that, but the trend is, unless something kind of slows down with this inflation, that we are trending to the 6% for 2023. So we just want to kind of give you all a heads up on that. Are there any other questions?
Thank you, Treasurer Sampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And moving on to new business, I will entertain a motion to put 2317 on the table for discussion.
Motion to put 2217 on the table for discussion.
Okay,
2223-17, I'm sorry. We do need a second. I'll second. I apologize.
Councilor Murphy, can you read that by title, please?
Proposed ordinance 23-17, sponsored by Budget Finance, being enacted by the Coroner Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 20, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
All right, floor is open for discussion on 2317. Please.
$2 million is appropriated from county sales tax. And I don't know exactly who would be asked about that, but is that to pay for the asphalt or is that anticipated?
Mr. Chairman, I can answer that.
Yes, sir, please.
During budgeting season, we requested the maximum we could based on our projected carryover. We project conservatively, and we wind up with more. And so what we do is we contract for asphalt installation this year with Rogers Group, and the past has been them as well. And they have state contracts, so we get them in the spring usually, and then they go do state contracts in the summer, and they come back late summer and through the fall. And so based on our burn rate so far, we think if we get them when we anticipate, we'll need that much more additional to finish what we'd like to get overlaid throughout the year and some chip seal as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes, sir.
If you look there on your summary statements for Form 4 on the bottom, underlying County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402 on your far right-hand side, amount not appropriated, $2,816,271.55 is money not appropriated in that fund, so there are plenty of funds to appropriate.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Any other questions, comments? All in favor of sending 2317 to full court, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, moving along, I'll entertain a motion to put 2318 on the table for discussion.
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2318.
Second that.
Councilor Murphy, could you read this, please, for the title?
Proposed ordinance 23-18, sponsored by Budget Finance, being enacted by the Corn Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 20th, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
Okay, ordinance 23-18 is on the table for discussion. Does anybody have any comments, questions on the committee?
I do, Justice Moss.
Yes, ma'am.
I spoke with Chief Deputy Woolley earlier today, and I asked him just to kind of explain a little bit about what this was. And Sheriff Ross, you, Angie, I don't know exactly who kind of wants to go through and walk through and explain it, but it just seemed like so much money and overtime coming at one time, and I was a little shocked. And so that was my main question, is why there was so much overtime coming in.
So, So I know some of y'all are new to Corn Court compared to last year. Last year, about mid-year, I looked at our budgets to see how we were sitting for overtime and part-time, and we came to the Corn Court not just for the ones that we were starting to get down to the bottom of the barrel, but we looked at it as a whole for all of our payrolls, because we have six different departments. So we looked at them as a whole. There is a individual sheet for each of the types of line items. So the top sheet is part-time out of Fund 1000 County General for the Sheriff's Department. So that's just analyzing off of our current use how much money we might have average-wise for the next 12 pay periods if we'll have any extra in part-time off of our current use. Looks like we're only going to have around $2,300 extra, just off of our current data. So I didn't request to move any money out of that in order to handle our needed extra, but I wanted to give you the full picture. So the second page, and they are front and back. The next page is an analysis of the overtime out of the main Sheriff's Department payroll, which is in County General. Off of our average use handling the rest of the year, it looks like we'll have a little over $8,000 extra in that. And so I did opt to request to transfer $8,000 from the Sheriff's Department overtime to the county jail overtime to hopefully handle part of our estimated use in the jail. Our jail has been down sizably. not more. The very last sheet in your packet is actually our vacancies, positions that I pulled from our own stats that we get out every month. And so just for you can see that it's we're hurting more on the detention side with our position than we are on the enforcement side. So, and that's why the overtime. A majority of it is because we've been at least 10 officers down consistently all year. And then on top of that, we are increasing our training on our detention officers as well. And Chief Roy can attest to that and how that program is going if y'all would want more information on that. And so that shows about 8,000 was available there, so I am requesting to transfer that 8,000. The next sheet is the overtime usage for County General for the jail. And it looks like we're going to have a shortfall of a little over 44,000 based on our current use. And so we are asking to transfer that 8,000 from our sheriff overtime and then requesting a new appropriation of 37,000 from County General to handle the rest of the year. Because I don't want to have to come to y'all every single month. I know that, you know, it's tedious and a lot of time and effort on all of our parts to have to revisit that. And I want to give y'all a full picture, you know, as often as we can. So, so that's why there's a transfer and then an appropriation to handle the rest of the year for that budget, hopefully. And like I said, this is just based on average use right now with our current vacancies. And then the next page is we have one other department in County General, which is our juvenile jail grant. There's just one officer there, and currently it's a vacant position. It's our only juvenile officer position that is vacant, and we only get a little around 50% reimbursement from the state grant for that, and then County General supports the rest of it. So as long as we utilize the 50% we get from the state, then it's okay to leave it vacant, and so that's why we've opted to leave that one vacant. And I'm not asking to transfer any money for the average use for the rest of the year because we don't know if we'll even need it or not yet. So that one I'm not asking anything for at this point, even though it does show if we had somebody in there, we would need more. And then now it shifts to the criminal justice side, which is the rest of our payrolls. And on the jail side of criminal justice, we have part-time. Currently, it's really hard to have part-time employees in the jail because of training and the hours they work and just having them be able to be available. So right now, we only have two part-time employees. And off of the average use, it looks like we would have a little over $10,000 extra. So we're asking to transfer $10,000 from our part-time to our overtime to help with part of what's going to be needed for the rest of the year in the overtime. And then the next page is the duty. This is where the majority of our vacancies have been within the criminal justice department for our jail. And off of the average usage, our shortfall will be approximately $134,000 and change. So we're asking to transfer what we felt like was available, which was that money out of part-time, $10,000, and we're asking to appropriate $125,000 for the remaining part of the year.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
You said a lot of stuff.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Let me process this. So the $8,000 is coming from overtime to jail.
Part-time in the jail to overtime in the jail. We're just training.
So what happens if we need more money for overtime?
I'm sorry, you said the 8,000.
Yeah.
Go back. I thought you were just talking about the one I just said. The 8,000 transfer was overtime in the sheriff's department, which is our enforcement side, to overtime in the jail.
Gotcha.
So and it is likely that this that may not just lay out appropriately for the rest
sure.
of the year, but I'm just trying to give you the full picture and look
gotcha.
At it. It's the same thing we did last year, and we only ended up having to come back, I think, November or December, if I remember right, and transfer small amounts.
That was going to be my next question. When would you come back if that was the case?
I hope we get it down to November or December. That's my hope.
Okay.
And that's why I like using averages for this, because especially when you look at our vacancy stats, you'll see that it's trending at least about 10 or so. And, I mean, we're trying our best, but it's a
sure.
hard environment to work in.
Appreciate your information. Appreciate
no
your job.
Thank you. And that was on the jail side, I forgot. And there is one more, two more departments in criminal justice. We have the deputy and dispatchers department. Sorry, I'll flip back over and go back to it. Deputies and dispatchers. So their overtime average use, and it shows that we'll have an estimated amount still available around 4,200. And we're asking to transfer 2,300 from that deputies and dispatchers to our COPS grant, which is still all in criminal justice. It's just based on the use. We have 13 people that work in the deputies and dispatchers payroll and six that are under COPS grant. And COPS grant, it varies. A lot of times when we hire those officers, they have to go to the academy, and we're kind of at the mercy of what their training hours are. We have to pay them for those. And then they have FTO when they get back. And classes that they have to go through just to get, you know, fully trained and everything. And then we do have a couple on there that we hired in that were already certified and, you know, had to go through a brief FTO, but they're already working, you know, as hard as they can as well. So we have extra money that we need to transfer between those two departments.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, once again, on these, if you look on that bottom, on the county general and the criminal justice sales tax, there is plenty of money to fund both of these.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am, as always, for
your
information. Any other JPs, questions, comments? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of passing 2318 to full court, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Moving along to proposed ordinance 2319. I'll entertain a motion to put proposed ordinance 2319 on the table for discussion.
I motion that we put this on the table and discuss it.
Second.
Okay, Councilor Murphy, could you read this to us by title?
Proposed Ordinance 23-19, sponsored by Justice Kendrick, being enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an ordinance to create a full-time position in Faulkner County Veterans Service Office and to declare an emergency.
Thank you, sir. 2319 is on the table for discussion. Does anybody have any questions, comments, concerns?
I really like that we have an idea to take care of our veterans. Without them, we're not here today. So I don't have a problem with this, actually. I think this is a good deal. I think from what I know of it, this will keep our veterans coming to us. I think that's a good thing. I think that anytime we can make it a little easier for our veterans, that's a good day. And that this seems like to be the right thing. I like that that this location will be moving. Is that correct? And if you don't mind, Judge Dodson, can you explain a little to us about that move? Because wouldn't that play a role into this as well?
It really will. First off, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the night. This is awesome. Thank you for the question. I appreciate your time and your consideration of this very important issue. You take up lots of important issues, but you know, when it comes to our veterans, and like I said, the previous committee, personnel committee, whether it's newly minted veterans straight from overseas coming back here and going to settle in this, or came back to the parents here until he goes off and decides what he or she's going to do, or if it's an elderly widower or widow. One of the things that excites me, I don't even know if I've shared this with anyone, but the new facility that you mentioned that we're refitting, it's an existing building that we have. Our circuit clerk no longer needs all the physical storage area, as she and her staff are digitizing many of her records. That opened that space. She was more than willing to kind of take one for the team and give up that floor space. And so is immediately adjacent to the circuit court. It would be the records building of the circuit clerk's office over there. One of the things that excites me is they walk right in, it's ground level. They don't have to go up a step or walk through uneven floors. I was told for the first time today of all the things I didn't know about that building, our termite officer, termite company, said don't waste any money trying to treat the termites in that floor. I mean, that's true. So floors are weighty. We're not going to spend that much on that old house that they're in right now. Right out the front door of the sheriff's office. It's a little brown house. You guys have seen it for many years. And it's just not suitable for what we need to do for our veterans. And so really, we're just trying to amp up the county game, trying to ask you to partner with us on that and vote with more resources of Faulkner County taxpayer money. And I'm really excited about it. I'm convinced you guys will give it your full support. I appreciate your consideration. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but I'm fully convinced you'd see the value. Veteran Services Officer is an advocate. I think Justice Strain said it better than I did in the Personnel Committee, and that is navigating the myriad of federal bureaucracy for any and all veterans is, I'm sure you know people who've had to deal with it or you've dealt with it yourself, and it is not easy. And having someone, it's not unlike having an attorney. I mean, you know, unless you're an attorney, you don't know how to file pleadings, you don't know how to navigate that myriad of difficulty. Well, the Federal Veterans Administration, all those benefits that come with being a veteran are not easy, and your average veteran is ill-equipped to, A, even know what all they're entitled to and their families, and B, know how to do it. Filing the wrong form, not filling the form out correctly, or putting the wrong information on a form, some of the stuff is rote paperwork. And they just, you know, the Veterans Services Officer is there to know, oh, I need this form. They'll grab it and say, okay, what is this? And what is this? And they'll sit down and fill that out. Sometimes they may have to send them home with a form to come back with more information. And then they'll sit at a terminal and make a submission right there on many of the services. I mean, it's a whole host. I'm kind of oversimplifying it, but it's difficult for the typical veteran even know what they're entitled to. And we have to do better. I'm convinced of it. My staff has heard me say that. They're all supportive of it. We've got to, and I'll go ahead and repeat this to your committee, is I would anticipate that we'll be coming back to ask for even more resources. We're falling that short of comparable services by similarly situated counties. We've got 7,241 known, as of 2021, known veterans who live here. We think that number will go up for one, but we just have not. I don't think it's anyone's fault other than this is just kind of the way it's grown through the decades. But right now in 2023, once we, you know, have kind of identified this to you, you know, if you were attending the Personnel Committee, one of the things we talked about was we went and got comps from other Class 6 counties. Faulkner County is a Class 6 county. There's still quite a bit of variability in terms of population and budget and certainly veteran population among Class 6 counties. We closely identify in many ways with Saline County and Craighead County in terms of population and budget size. They're very similar. And in terms of veterans presence, Sebastian County, a lot. They have 9,100 or so known veterans who reside in Sebastian County. They've got the Air Force base there and all sorts of military operations there. They've also got Fort Chaffee, I guess, is a guard base, or I'm not sure if that's U.S. Army base or if it's
guard base.
So, you know, when you look at what's there and then you look at what's here, we're not Pulaski County, but a lot of people, probably people you know, work on the Air Force Base or work there and stay there, which is what we want. Same thing with Camp Robinson. And you've probably all been on both bases before. And there's a huge population of veterans that cycle through there. Many of them stay here and put down roots. So Sebastian has 9,100. We've got 7,200. We spend $13,000 a year in resources on a single part-time with no clerical staff, no front office, nothing. Sebastian is way more than that. And I think Justice Kendrick pointed out they have four full-time there. And so I anticipate very much so that the numbers will demand. We won't come back and ask for another position if it's not working. And I give you a word on that. I would never be in favor of that. But I'm convinced that the numbers will come up once we have more resources here for you. So I'm excited. I'm excited for you guys to play a part in it. You know, you're going to be a critical piece of that. If it's not funded, it doesn't happen. That new facility doesn't happen. The new position doesn't happen. And what it looks like 2 years and 5 years from now doesn't happen unless you're on board. So you're critical. You know, I would invite, if you haven't already had a tour of what would be the new facility, I would invite you to just call Administrator Higgins, Administrator Anderson, myself, and we'll be happy to walk you through really both places.
Judge, I have another question. As far as the salary goes, that $46,179, Justice Kendrick, you're saying that was the maximum that could be paid. Is that the set salary or is that the maximum?
That's just the maximum that we can appropriate as the court. The judge's office can pay whatever amount out of that that they see fit, depending on who they have.
So just a bar.
Yeah,
typical hiring scenario, well explained. It's unlikely that we would start out in my administration. I guess it's the first time I've come to you guys, but it's unlikely that we've come ask for that figure and then offer that to the first person that comes along. It's just, that's not good business. So we're not going to do it that way. I'd probably leave it open-ended until we see who's interested.
And a lot of times over time, what we've seen from the elected officials is that they'll set a pay with somewhere within that number, and that gives them room for growth if it's fully appropriated to give raises and do those things up to that limit over the years as it's warranted.
Appreciate that.
All right.
Interest number one, and then the opportunity to kind of explain where we are in the way that we manage personnel. So,
Judge, I have two questions. I appreciate the explanation. Appreciate your hard work, and I appreciate Justice Kendrick. I think Justice Kendrick has brought knowledge to all of us, or at least some of us who didn't know all this. I appreciate that awareness. I don't recall this question being asked in the previous committee, but entertaining it passes here, entertaining it passes from court. When would this employee start? And when you had mentioned a grand opening, this and maybe people preliminary to ask that question, but when would a grand opening happen?
Well, they should begin work on putting a temporary wall in over there to accommodate a front office space. That is one big room for the most part in that building over there. They'll still be doing digital scanning in probably two-thirds of that building. And really, you're just talking about some office space here now. I think that would give room to grow there. If not, we have potential to use the building. It's a good building, so we have the potential to use that for any number of spaces. I would anticipate it would probably end up being mostly veteran services as we go down the road. Too early to tell when a grand opening would be. In terms of personnel, we would have to advertise. It's like any other position. So we'd advertise that. I believe we included an emergency clause in this. Is that true? And so we'd be able to advertise that immediately if you refer this to the full court and it passes. So we will. We'll advertise that immediately.
Again, thank you for your work on this and bringing awareness to this. Important.
Chairman, any other?
No, sir. Thank you, Judge. Justice Kendrick, do you have anything you wanted to add to any of this? Sure, appreciate it. Just sponsoring.
No, I just appreciate y'all's consideration. I think this is a great deal for the county. I think this is something that we can really enhance our offerings for veterans and even potential residents that, you know, as they retire or leave the service, they'll say, what does Faulkner County have? And we can look at that. And I think a good example of just if we enhance the capabilities to do that, we just recently had a Veterans Park opening. And if you attended that, which several of the judges' office was there, and there were several JPs there, but there was a lot of veterans there, and there was a lot from the community. So that's just another example. If we did have additional staff to help, that's just more offerings where they can get out and interact with the veterans in that community. It's a tight-knit community. I think this is a great deal for Faulkner County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, once again, I just wanted to mention that this is County General. If you look at the last column, the same funds there for the appropriate.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or concerns? All in favor of sending proposed ordinance 2319 to the full court, indicate by saying aye.
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 Next up, we've got proposed ordinance 2321, and I'll entertain a motion to put that on the table for discussion.
I make a motion to put this on the table and discuss this.
Second.
Yes, sir, Councilor Murphy, if you would please read this by title.
Proposed ordinance 23-21. Sponsored by Justice Pahoski, being enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 23rd, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
Thank you, sir. Looking for Chairman Pahoski, he's not here, and Administrator Higgins. Judge Dodson, is there anything you'd like to speak on this matter?
This is the rural fire department appropriation, which basically would provide radios to rural fire departments discussed in courts of public safety, and that would be coming through the ARP funds.
And I would just add, thank you for that. Just to cut to the chase here, I think we as county government really were looking for ways. I'll invite Administrator Egan's up here. But if I could just explain the landscape here, with the county having the ARP money that it has, I think there's generally recognized need that, look, we've got to support severely underfunded volunteer fire departments. It's no secret. All right? A lot of other good uses for the ARP money, you guys have discussed those ad nauseum. You've done a great job with that. I'm pleased, personally, that our county court has given the due diligence that it's had, and it has. I'm not sure I'll change a single thing that you guys have done. Having said that, the volunteer fire departments, there are 23 of them, I think, in the county.
A little bit less, 23 total departments. That includes Conway, Greenbrier.
And lots of moving parts. They each operate, have different geographies, they got different numbers of structures they serve, and numbers of volunteers, numbers of apparatus, and funding. And so it's difficult to craft what makes sense. I mean, it is not easy. I don't know how much time we spent on it as an administration at the judge's office, but it's quite a bit of time. And that includes everybody from the judge's office staff proper to OEM to many of the chiefs. They would all love to have $1 million to add to the budget, right? And we can't do that. So it ran the course from, devices A, devices B. Each one of them could use many of the requests they had, didn't qualify under ARP regulations from the U.S. Treasury. But when the idea was proffered that, I don't remember whose idea it was first, either Chief Illman or Administrator Higgins or whose idea it was, but it is a great idea, and that is to fund more uniformity, more capability with radio communications. And if you go with AWIN, many of you might be familiar with AWIN, cost prohibitive. I think there was an ask, it was $10 or $13 million to do the same thing with the AWIN system, statewide kind of default system. But we have the ability to put in a system that we already have a lot of the back end for. And there are even some departments in the county that already use this technology. And by adding some ARP funding, which we're proposing, you can give uniformity to radio communications. There will be a little bit of back-end hardware that goes with that. And there's some patches. I'll ask Administrator Higgins to come up and fill you in on the technological gaps that I don't have that I can't fill in for you. But providing adequate radio columns, number one, for each of those fire departments in a way that makes sense. And to me, interoperability, it hasn't really been sold a lot, but I personally like. I lived in 2014, even with eight wins. I mean, pretty big opportunity to have better communications across agencies, across jurisdictions. And so I'm personally excited about that. Hadn't really been the lead story in this, but I'm excited about increasing comms capability with our fire departments. So, would you like to fill in?
I'm just saying, Director, are there any questions?
I just had one specification on it. This money will come out of the encumbered funds and not the unencumbered, correct?
That's correct.
They still meet all the requirements.
Yeah.
I did read a little bit about the app and how it works and everything. And besides the communication aspect of it, there are so many different things to it. It can also send you reminders that your CPR certification is due and that your oil needs to be changed. Or, you know, I mean, all of these different things that go along with the vehicle and the individual person that carries it. So I thought that was very interesting as well.
Yeah, the I Am Responding app is pretty detailed in what it will do.
The only question I have, this passes, assuming it will. When does this start? When does the radios come in? When is the subscription to?
So we've already, the vendor actually has these radios on state contract. So we're already getting the best price on it. And so once we get it, it's got an emergency clause on it. The judge will sign off on it. We'll get with the vendor, start ordering radios. They'll go to OEM. And so what we're doing is we're having OEM actually facilitate the distribution of these things. So we'll have, we still have a little bit of a plan to work out, but overall, we're just not going to ship the radios out to them and let them start,
sure.
You know, putting them in. We'll help with the installation, probably bring the vehicle either to OEM, or we'll have the vendor go to their location and install them in the vehicle. The handhelds, they'll be pre-programmed by the vendor, and then we'll distribute those by department.
Supply chain issues.
Yeah, outside of our control issue.
Gotcha.
A lot of radios.
Any further questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, let's vote on this. Okay, all in favor of passing proposed ordinance 23-21 onto full court, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I don't have any announcements. Does anybody else have any announcements?
You've got one more.
We've got one more.
2322. The second page of the one, I think, that you didn't realize it's two pages, is another one.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will entertain a motion to put proposed ordinance 2322 on the table for discussion.
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2322 on the table for discussion.
I second that motion.
Councilor Murphy, can you give that a read for us?
Proposed ordinance 23-22, sponsored by Mary Coates, being enacted by the Corn Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 23rd, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
Thanks, sir. All right, floor is open for discussion on the ordinance. Does anybody have any questions?
I just have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
All of this. We discussed a lot about how we need to take care of our veterans and we need to take care of the people that put their lives on the line for our country and our citizens. And I feel like our first responders are included in that group, making them a priority and making sure that their mental health is a priority is very important to me, and I feel like it's very important to this court. Having someone have to make the decision about whether or not they go to counseling and pay a $35 copay, a $55 copay, whatever that may be, I don't know off the top of my head, to get counseling when they're, most of these people are family oriented. You know, do I pay the pharmacy copay for this or for my child, or do I take the time and do the counseling? I don't even feel like that should be a choice. If someone that has had a traumatic event protecting us needs counseling to deal with that and to maintain their job and their mental health, then I think that needs to definitely be a priority, and they should not be out of their pocket for that. So I'm in full support of this, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. That's the least we could do in this situation.
My only question is, I heard them referencing an in-house counselor. Would the first responder have the option to go elsewhere?
Yes, they would have. The my understanding, and Administrator Higgins can probably help me answer these questions too, since Captain Hillman has left, but they've had a volunteer that has been the in-house counselor that has been volunteering to do the counseling. If they decide that they want to go to somebody different, then that's completely up to them. This money helps pay the copay for that particular visit, what their insurance does not already cover. Correct?
That's correct. So they've been using actually a firm, and they've been providing their services pro bono. And it started off with one deputy and then maybe two deputies. And it is a program that they go through a training program so that when they have a critical incident, they get counseling over a period of either 6 or 8 or 12 instances, and they are able to utilize this for future events. And so it's not like they go to counseling and have to go every time. If they learn skills where they can deal with these type of incidents should they happen sooner, because they don't happen one time. Oftentimes, these officers see these events multiple times, and they're taught how to deal with those. And so that'll help them with this. The person that's been providing this pro bono, it has been so successful that it really blossomed to where it's more than she can provide, because this is her business. So she's providing, been able to provide more than she can handle. So that's when this was actually first brought to our attention, is how can we help this? Because the officers, if they have to go, 6 or 8 times at $35 a copay, and if they have to do this over a period of a couple of weeks, that's a pay period for them. So they're having to pay this $35 fee over a couple of weeks in one pay period, and what happens is they don't go. Mm-hmm. And so really the services just become unavailable to them. So that will help with this part of it.
So let me ask might be a dumb question, but I'm full of them. Would this volunteer become paid? Like, how does that work? Would the insurance, I guess, pay?
This ordinance would cover that copay that she's now volunteering. If that makes sense.
I warned you, it could be a dumb question.
That's a fair question.
All in favor, for sure.
Any further questions, concerns, comments? Comments from other JPs? All right, all in favor of passing proposed ordinance 23-22 on to full court, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, I've got no announcements. Does anybody else have any announcements?
I've got one. Speaking of first responders, I'm getting the opportunity through my church. We have a serve day coming up. I'm getting to feed our first responders and fire departments around the city. And I'm excited about that because I think they're a portion of just people in general that get left out. And they work a lot. And so I'm going to get the opportunity to help serve, lead some teams to serve, and hang out with them and hopefully encourage them. So it's interesting. We've kind of had that theme tonight, but I'm excited about that. So.
Okay. Well, we're adjourned.